You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Insomnia is pretty terrible, isn't it? But on the plus side, three more sleeps till Christmas.
I quite like that.
Yeah.
Apologies to any insomnia sufferers that listen to the pod.
Insomniacs.
Is that what they're called? Insomniacs. I guess it is.
I believe so.
I guess it is. Yeah. The delivery, Nate, was sensational.
Oh, thanks, mate. I'm a pro at this now. This is my jam. This is what
it's
I do.
It's only taken you 100 episodes or whatever it's been.
I think it's more now. I think we're pushing like 120, aren't we? So it's good to know that it takes me 100 repetitions of something to get good at it. It's good to know going forward for future reference in life.
Well, Medellin's got his Google face on, so he's clearly trying to find something out, maybe to check whether or not insomniacs is the correct term. But while he's doing that, I'm going to score your joke, Nate. And I'm going to score it. A 9.1.
Oh, ooh, back in the nines.
I liked it.
I wasn't expecting a nine. I thought maybe be in the eights, but I'll take it. We can get into this after the intro. What did I get? I recently did a live joke that the two of you both heard. I believe it got an eight. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yeah, it was 8 point something, I think. Yeah.
I'm on a bit of a roll. We'll explain that after the intro. Bit of a teaser there for our listeners.
Welcome to another edition of the Pad Talk. You've got us in three different spots today. You've got Medis in Japan, in Tokyo. You've got Nate back home in Medis. I don't know if I was supposed to give away where you live, but I have now, so there we go.
Well, way to go, mate. Now everyone's going to know.
Full address, please.
Give out my coordinates as well, shall we? To my house. Postcode. Way to go, mate. They call that, that's got a name, hasn't it, when you dox someone. That's it. You've just been doxed by Grosso. Jeez. You think you know a guy.
I'm sorry, mate.
I think we've mentioned I live in Reading multiple times.
Yeah, good. Phew. Okay. Well, I'm in Singapore. I do not live in Singapore. I'm just shortly be checking out my room.
You're a long way from friendly, aren't you? Both of us can do it. Both of us can do that, mate. Checkmate.
Well, we may as well start the show, mate. Yeah, that was a sensational intro. That was one of my favourite shows, I think. I enjoyed that.
Has Wokingham's Chris Medland stopped researching Insomniacs yet?
Yeah, I haven't been researching at all. I was looking up Insomniac earlier, but then I wasn't anymore. It's just, I think, where my cool like window was, and I wasn't looking near the camera, so you thought I was frowning away at that. But now I've realised I'm not actually on the microphone I thought I was on.
Oh, no.
Well, this guy is going to take me.
This is life on the road, isn't it, as F1 journalists?
Yeah. I mean, how bad do I sound right now, listeners and
you sound great, mate.
Hosts. Yeah.
I think you sound good.
Okay. Yeah.
Fellow hawks.
Do I sound any different now?
Yeah, you sound less good now.
You do sound better now, yeah.
But I sound better now.
Now you sound better, yeah.
Oh, maybe it is working. Who knows?
But I'm glad that we've done our sound test live in the pod. I'm sure.
Yeah. enjoy. Thanks everyone for sticking with us.
But why have we had to do that, Lawrence?
Because we're in a rush. Because we're in a rush because of me. Because I need to leave. Is that what you wanted to drop me in?
Yeah, but I'm not dropping you in. It's understandable.
We're on the clock. I've got to check. Well, I should have checked out already. Got to check out after this little chat. Head to the airport. Let's come back home because I'm not doing Japan. Chris Medland is doing Japan. Nate Saunders, I believe, is not doing Japan. Is that correct?
No. I mean, if I am, I'm I'm up against it to get there. I'm currently in the Royal County of Berkshire, where I live, and nowhere near Heathrow.
Well, actually, the Royal County of Berkshire is very close to Heathrow, isn't it?
It is close. Yeah. But I mean, I'm not even ready. I'm not even dressed for Suzuka. So no, I'm not. I'm staying home for these. I'm in Qatar.
And then, I like the way you've slowly expanded your location. So we now know it's Reading, yeah. But then you were like, no, I'll only tell them it's Berkshire next. Soon you'll say I live in England, and you're meant to do it the other way around. You've already honed in.
Yeah. Well, I'm trying to like just throw so many names out there, people eventually forget. They're like, wait, he said Berkshire, but where is it? You know, and they're not, you know, they have to go through the episode again and listen. It's to get us more, just get us more listens, mate. That's what it's all about.
Smart. Well, I'll tell you what normally gets us more listen, Nate, is when we get to hear your 60-second review.
Nice. Let's hear it. If you've only got 1 minute to spare, want to know who finished when and where, sit back, relax, because we got you. Here's Nate with the 60-second review. Hello, everyone. This is Nate, Nate Saunders from the Paddock. This is my review of the Singapore Grand Prix, which features a brand new winner for 2023. How fun. Should we get into it? Spoiler alert, Max didn't win. First position, Carlos Sainz. I mean, I've got to say, pretty damn impressive. Carlos, keep proving idiots like me wrong about you. That would be great. Second position, Lando Norris. He's so good, isn't he? He's right on the cusp of that first win, I think. Third place should have been George Russell, but instead it went to Sir Lewis Hamilton. Fourth position, Charles Leclerc, who suddenly looks like he might not be the best Ferrari driver. Thoughts? Discussion? We can have it, for sure, here on the Paddock. Fifth position, a gentleman's fifth for Max Verstappen. Thanks for keeping it interesting, Max, and Red Bull. Sixth position, love Pierre Gasly. He's there in sixth. Piastri, he's brilliant, isn't he? In seventh, Sergio Perez. Yep, he was there in eighth. Liam Lawson, he's looking fantastic. I think AlphaTauri should snap him up for next season. 10th position was Kevin Magnussen. Out of the points was Albon, Joe, Hülkenberg, Sargent. Fernando Alonso had a rough day, didn't he? Russell, I've already mentioned him, Bottas, Ocon and Tsunoda all retired from the race. Withdrawing from the race was Lance Stroll. What on earth is going on there? He looks like he's in real trouble, doesn't he?
That was quite a serious review.
It was, wasn't it? The banter wasn't flowing when I did that. Sorry, guys.
It's all right. You were under pressure.
But it was a serious review from a serious journalist about a serious race. A seriously good race, I may add.
It was brilliant, wasn't it? I thought it was great. Best race of the year?
Yeah, I think so. It's hard to... I think it's got to be, right? Because the victory was in doubt right until the end. You had multiple drivers you felt could win it. And it was a surprising result. So I would say definitely. And we've had some, I think this year's the quality wise has been pretty poor race wise. So that it does stand out as the best one.
I'm sorry to Red Bull fans, but it did show that like if there wasn't a Red Bull in the race or in the race this year, how competitive would the race have been? Like, because we've had battles, haven't we, further down the field, but it doesn't get so exciting when they're fighting for P3. But I thought that the way that the weekend unfolded and the way that Red Bull was struggling and just gave everyone else a shot. I thought it was great. Great storytelling. Netflix must have had a blast.
Definitely. I hope they were following Sainz around because I thought I was really impressed with him as hinted at in the review. And Lawrence, I know you know him very well and we know his trainer Rupert very well as well. I was really impressed. I thought that's the best drive from Sainz by country mile in F1. And it's the sort of drive you would expect from the other Ferrari driver usually. Like usually we think Charles is the one that does that and Carlos maybe has a bit of a nightmare and stuff happens to him. But he was fantastic. I was so impressed. He's doing it at a good time, isn't he? Because he's not yet signed a deal for beyond next year. Is that right? He's got one for next season, but not beyond.
Yeah. He's got one for next season, wants to get them.
Yeah. Yeah, and Charles, it's weird, isn't it? It's like they've flipped roles since summer break. It's like Charles is like, I'm gonna play like the number two guy for a little bit. Just let Carlos have a go. I do think had Charles been ahead of him in Monza, I don't think they'd let them race. I think the dynamic is still such that Charles is the number one guy. I don't know if you guys agree, but Charles just got pretty unlucky with that pit stop. And then I think his race was kind of ruined from that point, but that wasn't anyone's fault really. It was just you know, the nature of that stop.
I did
Unless
agree.
Conspiracy theorists want to say something else.
No, I did agree that Charles had that kind of like almost like number one status before this weekend. But the fact that the strategy they went for was put Charles on softs to make sure he gets ahead of George and then can defend for Carlos, but obviously will be the vulnerable one who then can't really win from there. I thought was a sign that they were like, no, Carlos he's done the job all weekend. He's the most likely winner. And the second car is now the one that we will adapt its strategy to get the win in the league car. Mm. So that felt for the first time like it was a very much like Carlos has earned this. Charles, you've got to play second fiddle. Whereas you're right. I think in Monza, it felt like the fact they let them race was great, but it felt like they did that because that way they didn't have to upset Charles at that point and say, no, you sit there behind your teammate. And I'm with you. I wonder if they would have taken a different approach if it had been the other way around then. But maybe this weekend in Singapore has shown that they wouldn't have. They'd have done the same thing.
Yeah.
I think they were really pragmatic in Singapore because I think they honestly came into this weekend and didn't expect to have this kind of pace. I think they still thought they'd be there or thereabouts in qualifying, but they weren't convinced that they would have that kind of edge over Red Bull and then the rest of the field. And because of that, I think they just realised this was their only shot really this year at it, to win a race. And with Carlos in front, and actually Carlos was just good from the first practice session. Like it was his most complete weekend completely. Yeah. And so he hit qualifying, and when he was going for pole, I don't know what you guys think, but I think everyone just believed he could get it. I don't think that's always been the case when he's shown pace and looked quick, but it just looked like he was the best guy and couldn't and should have got pole then. And then in the race, whatever the pressure was, like the fact that he had that kind of headspace to go, you know, when they came on team radio and they're like, you dropped into DRS, and he was like, well, yeah, obviously I have, because that's what I'm doing. Like, I'm
it's on purpose.
Yeah. And I thought that was really, I thought A, he had that headspace. B, it's interesting that the team hadn't clocked that he had that headspace. And like,
yeah,
I thought that was interesting because he is that kind of guy, like you said right at the beginning, mate. He's that just really think, he's a thinker, isn't he? Very intelligent.
Hmm. Yeah, yeah. So absolutely. I thought it was classic Ferrari comms, wasn't it? They're like, just Carlos, by the way, Lando's catching him. He's like, yeah, guys, don't just leave it to me. I'm a driver. You know, I'll win us the race now. Just you guys sit there and just watch this. I thought it was quite telling, but yeah, I agree with you, mate. Did you play squash with him this weekend?
I did play squash. I had burgers with him ahead of the
weekend.
Okay,
so we need to work out what you did before Singapore and Monza with Carlos, because usually you play, like, usually there's squash involved. I wonder if when you play squash with him, you wear him out. Mentally, he gets into qualifying, and he's a bit drained. So I think as much fun as he has, he's there like, oh, you know what? he's coming into Q3, the final lap, and he's lacking something. And he left it on the court with you. He didn't leave it on the racetrack. But the burger, the juices of the burger were still flowing in Q3. And he was like, you know what? I've got a little bit left in me. A little bit of my mental prowess is here. So I'm not saying squash is to blame, Lawrence, but you're really excited every time you play him.
So, yeah, I think the burger makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? Because you need the extra calories because you're going to burn a lot during that race. So instead of him being in deficit because he played squash and being fit, he went for fat with the burger and it worked.
And his body's burning, especially at Singapore. Yeah. Body's just churning through that. Like, yes.
And then energy. It's got loads of extra capacity to think about things. In fact, he's probably thinking about the burger at times during that race. Probably thinking about you.
Yeah, he's probably
being like, you've
probably
been
seeing,
the
nemesis.
In racing games,
you'd have the ghost car. He just had a ghost burger in front of him. He's just following it around the racetrack, like driving as fast as he can. Like, want to have more burger with Lawrence. So really, what I'm saying is, Lawrence, you deserve as much credit than Carlos Sainz.
Yeah, congratulations, mate. Well done.
Yeah, well done. Hope
thanks,
some
guys,
of the
best. Thanks, guys. Very kind. Very kind.
No, it was great. And what was great about the way the race played out as well was that I think all four of those drivers could have probably won the race for about five laps. You felt like, you know, Sainz could have made a mistake and Lando could have won. You know, the Mercedes drivers could have taken each other out and Sainz, you know, could have still won it. There could have been a collision between Russell and Lando that like let Lewis in. That was really good. And it's been a while since, I think, like, I'm just trying to remember the time there's been, like, the last time we had a race where it was that open between so many drivers at a race. I think I couldn't think of anything off the top of my head. Maybe I'm missing an obvious example, but it reminded me of Silverstone last year. Again, weirdly, another race that Sainz won. But the difference with that was there was about seven people all fighting for second. It wasn't for the win. You remember when, like, through goes Hamilton, that famous bit of commentary? That was Charles, Perez, and Lewis. Max was a bit further back. But Carlos, in that instance, was way out in front. So it wasn't the fight for the win. I couldn't think of anything where there's been a fight for the win. It's been multiple cars. So I loved it. I thought it was really
good. Also, in that race at Silverstone, it was because Ferrari got Charles' strategy wrong.
That's right.
Carlos got ahead, ironically, wasn't it? So it's a completely different way of winning. But do you remember when Kimi won in Austin? I seem to remember. I think this is his last win for Ferrari. I know that was a long, long time ago. And there might
no, that's a great call. 2018. Lewis won the championship as well, didn't he, by finishing?
Yeah. You were there. I remember, I think it was sat next to you, I think. And I remember that being like an incredible, like, you didn't quite know how it's going to pan out kind of thing.
Yes.
But, and the beauty of that is for this year is there were three teams, right? So we've got Ferrari, McLaren, Mercedes. Mm. And like you said, they all did slightly different things. McLaren bought this upgrade package. Merck saved that set of medium tyres. Ferrari were just genuinely quick here. So Formula One in 2023 really is about so many different variables. It's not just about whether or not you've got a quick car. So I think that sets it up nicely for a point in time when everyone does clock why there is such a deficit to Red Bull. It looks like at the moment, doesn't it, the McLaren have got it, like they're on the right path. And they are hunting them down. This is yet another upgrade. I was hearing numbers of like 0.4, 0.5 seconds per step.
Wow.
From, you know, and that's, which we won't really see here because of the nature of the circuit. I think it'll become clearer in the next time out
for the season.
Japan. But it's great.
No, the season's already done. Sorry, mate. I keep cutting you off because of our silly lag. Great for 2024 as well. Because if they're cutting the gap now, you hope that carries into next year.
Yeah, totally. I think so. And because it is very much an evolution, isn't it, of rules. I know some teams are going to maybe take a revolutionary approach, but that might be because they've got to go and take the Red Bull kind of design pathway. The team should be, if they've clocked it, should be shutting the gap gradually going forward. So yeah, like you said, might be a better ending of the year for Red Bull. I think it's maybe, I was looking at Vegas as maybe another shot of some others having a go, but the rest of them, I think, probably it's just a matter of time before Red Bull win. But I don't know. Let's see. I'll try and be a bit more optimistic.
Yeah, so
can't be more optimistic.
A quick side note here, because listeners can't see, obviously, they can only listen. There's a reason that it's just me and Lawrence talking at the moment, because Medlin's currently giving us an inverted tour of his hotel room because he's looking for an adapter. By the look on his face, I'm guessing.
There's no plug anywhere, and my laptop is about to die, and there's not a single plug.
I've got to go run grab my charger in a sec, even. This is a nightmare.
This is genuinely about to die on us. This is huge jeopardy, but I can't find a single plug.
Can you unplug the telly?
No, because the way that the plugs are under the telly, you can't fit an adapter and a Mac charger. It doesn't fit.
The phone?
Oh, no.
No. Those plugs, there's only one plug that will fit in an adapter, and there's not space to put the adapter in it, so... That's why I'm running around the room. Seriously, that's like nowhere to plug in.
There's real jeopardy here, guys, to the extent where we might have to just call it.
Yeah, I feel like that's the safest bet. For the posterity of the pod, let's wrap. And not wrap like that, because that would take forever. Wrap with a W. Barreto, lead us out, and then we'll save the pod and hopefully save Medlin's mental health, because he looks like he's gonna lose it.
And I don't want him to do that. And, you know, we could just let him have a great night out in Tokyo and kind of give him an early finish. We'll hear plenty more from you, Medlin, in the next pod. Well, of course, we haven't even covered off the massive story of this month.
This is going to be a wedding.
Medlin wedding.
Which was fantastic. We'll do that next week after Suzuka. We'll save it all up. Bottle all the stories.
We don't want to rush it, do we? So we'll do a bumper episode next week when we're all back in the United Kingdom.
This is ridiculous. Absolutely. I'm just legging it around. I can't genuinely not assume.
Mate, I feel dizzy. I'm dizzy watching Medlin scream. I
feel a bit sick. So we've got to call it that.
I'm about to pass out.
It's been an absolute pleasure, as always. Nate, I loved your joke today. I've loved your story. Medlin is now sitting on the floor, lying on the floor, almost in some sort of weird model pose.
I've got 2%. You better be quick.
All right. Well, Medlin, you can read your work on Racer.com, Nate's work on EFN.com, and you can follow us at the Paddock across social channels. We'll do this again, we'll be promised, next week.
Bye.
I contributed a lot today.
Social Podcast Network.